Welcome back, everyone. It is so good to be together again. Welcome back to this next episode of Getting to Know Grace, when I am sitting with our very new, very fantastic brand new choir director, Amy, who is joining us today to tell us a little bit about her story, to help us get to know her better, to just generally share some time together. So welcome, Amy. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
This is just, it's so cool to be in the same space and to be able to do this together. Yep. So let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Good and gracious God, thank you so much for this time to be together, to learn a little bit more about your presence in Amy's good life, to learn about Amy's journey and what brought her here to be with these people, to be serving you in this way. Help us to have open arms, open hearts, and open minds to all that Amy brings to this moment in time and to this ministry that we have been called to together. Strengthen us all in this week ahead, O God, and keep us focused as always on you. All this and so much more, we pray, trusting in you and trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, Amy, tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you like the people of Grace to know about you?
Oh, gosh.
I know. It's a huge question.
Well, let's see. I'll start with, you know, some statistics.
Yeah.
My name is Amy Boers.
Yes.
And I am a mother and a sister, a daughter and a wife and an aunt and a musician, a child of God. My husband and I live in Milton, so just south of here, and my husband Jeffrey teaches up at University of Washington, and so we both are now commuting on the freeway a little bit, but that's just part of the deal. Other things that I do in addition to being the choir director here at Grace now is I spend a lot of time as a freelance musician in kind of the greater Tacoma area.
Sure.
So I play for faculty and students at PLU in Parkland, and I play piano in Symphony Tacoma, which is wonderful and a great challenge and lots of fun. So I kind of balance my time as a conductor here, singing with you all and singing with the choir, teaching them and guiding them and their talents. And then I'm also a pianist, organist. So Phil and I have had some great conversations already, and I really treasure being able to partner with him in this next step.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's a little bit about me. You know, everything else is, you know, I'll talk to everybody. We'll figure each other out.
Absolutely. Well, it strikes me as you're sharing all of that, that so much of your musical outlets are so community-based. You should mention the symphony, you mentioned churches. Like, how did you navigate all of that? Or, like, where is your heart right now in the midst of all of that in COVID and all that community stuff? And
that's a really, you touched on two things. Well, you touched on lots of things, but I think the biggest part of what I treasure in music making is collaboration. And I've just never had the drive to be a soloist or a the front figure. I treasure shepherding a group, and I treasure accompanying a group, or even when I do, like I've sung for some recordings, but it's never the featured soloist. I always really value the background singer type of thing. There's something about collaboration that really strikes to the core for me of what I love the most about music and how that's my language. These past 17, 18 months, whatever it's been, were tremendously difficult because, as we all know, we lost the in-person collaboration, community time in so many aspects of our life.
Yes.
If we are, if, you know, so many of us are fortunate to have people at home with us. So I learned after some getting used to everybody being around the whole time, you know, learn to value that community in a kind of a new way.
Yeah.
But I grew empathy for folks who were alone, who are alone at home, that kind of took on a new dimension that was, I'm sure, unexpected and in many cases difficult. So that loss of collaboration for me felt like I lost the ability to communicate. So kind of I lost part of my language, which was hard. It was hard on my heart. It's helpful to talk about it now, to be able to reflect back and go, wow, it's pretty valuable.
Yeah.
That, you know, now I really understand how it's so deeply connected to kind of the essence of who I am. The only thing I can relate it to is when I injured my finger, I don't know, 8 years ago or so, so much so that I couldn't play piano for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then in the recovery process, I was timid because I didn't want to re-injure it or hurt. And for me to not be able to have that language was, it just shook me to my core. And so I recognized that feeling when we had to shut down and stop making music together in person. And so it wasn't completely unfamiliar, but it sure lasted a terribly long time.
Horribly long
time. Yeah. So it's wonderful that we can now start gathering and being together and taking those steps forward.
Yeah.
I'm thankful.
That feels so relatable, in part just because I think we all lost ways to communicate in COVID. Like, I remember when we were first coming back to in-person stuff, thinking, like, it's so hard for me to hold eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd so gotten used to being on Zoom where I didn't have to hold eye contact. I could look wherever I wanted. And just that communication of, like, holding eye contact with someone, you communicate a lot.
Yeah.
I'd totally forgotten that skill. And so just, like, coming back and having to relearn how to do that was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so fulfilling and, like, filling to be like, oh, you can see my eyes.
Right. Something else that reminds me of that I talk a lot about, and for folks who are watching this that are a part of the choir or maybe want to be a part of the choir or kind of checking it out, I talk a lot about breath. And you might think, oh, that's really obvious. Of course you have to breathe, and we all do. And, oh, if you're a singer, of course you talk about breathing. But really, even in what you were saying, we're in the same room and we're breathing together, and there's something that's very, I don't know if the word's visceral, or it's something really tangent about that, tangible, that that's hard to describe, but you know something's missing when you're looking to, you know, one-dimensional or two-dimensional on a screen.
Yes.
And when breath is present, then we sense so much more, and we can communicate so much more, and that's a beautiful thing about singing or making any music together, is that connection of breath.
Yeah.
And so I'm so anxious and so happy to be kind of the collector of the community's breath and the choir's breath, that then we can send, you know, it's the breath of, we talk about the breath of God, you know, and that's something that might be, you know, something to really notice and enjoy.
Oh, I just got chills. That's amazing to think of it as such a spiritual thing to be able to say, like, I, like you were saying before, I can't even put words on why, what I'm missing or what it is that I don't have.
Right.
Until you get into a place and you're like, oh, this is it. It's so tangible and I can feel it so intently. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. And it's not until it's back that you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then to just the image of being a collector of breath. Mm. That is just, that's incredible. I love that. To be a holder, a place to keep that community breath together. That's so cool. I love that so much. Oh my gosh. Okay, so tell us, how did you come to find Grace? What drew you to Grace in the first place? Anything that's about this space?
Well, you know, I've known kind of in folklore of Grace for many years.
Sure.
Working at various congregations in the area, all in the southwestern Washington Synod. So this is, I've moved north.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've known in this community of this community's kind of just foundation here and large presence. And I always kind of wondered, I wonder what's up there. I wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I couldn't ever visit because I work on Sundays.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But it had always kind of held this spot in my mind as, oh, it's Grace Lutheran. Oh.
Yeah.
And so then when the email came across my desk, I thought, wow. Well, I don't know if I'm ready to kind of find out what that place is all about.
Yeah.
But I did some, I think I was telling the story to staff earlier, but I just kind of, it kept coming around and I got another email and another email and finally my husband said, are you gonna apply? Did you want to talk to me about this? And I think I was anxious that, oh, I don't know, what might it mean? And I, the minute I kind of dug in deeper, everything just fell into place and felt like this is the place that I feel like I could really dig deeply into and offer my heart, my skill set, and my time to, in order to just kind of keep a ministry going at such a difficult time for, in so many ways. You know, I feel very deeply about taking care of broken hearts and grief. And music has a way of speaking or reminding of both beauty and grief.
Yeah.
And so I feel I treasure that, being able to be with the people of Grace as we kind of bring back the choir's music to our worship, knowing that it's a beautiful and a grief-filled, perhaps, time that we'll just walk together in. But I really felt strongly that I was just really called to sit right here with everyone and walk that with you all. And so what keeps me coming back is anticipation at this point.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We start to we're talking on the 8th of September, and so we're starting rehearsal tonight, and I'm thrilled that we'll start that process and really get back to making music together. So.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see what you guys are able to come up with and
I know.
To do in
we'll
worship.
See.
It's
gonna
be so good.
Yep.
While you were talking, I was just thinking, we were just watching there's a series on Netflix called Explained. It's like these short little documentaries. They're only like 20 minutes a piece. My partner loves documentaries, and they often put me to sleep. So this is perfect, because it's just like a little bit, and we watched a little bit. And he's also a musician, and so we watched the one on music the other day, and they were talking so much about the psychology of music and just the ability for music to work with our emotions in ways that speech just doesn't, or prose just doesn't, of like getting to those emotions past any societal hang-ups we might have around expressing emotion and just get straight to memory, get straight to hearts, get straight to grief. And so being able to hold all those emotions together, being able to access all those emotions together, and being able to do that in a room together again through the beauty of music just sounds, that just makes my heart happy to hear you talk about it that way, and to talk about it in ways of like caring for the people in the room and the people who are listening, whether the people are singing or listening.
It's a communal experience. That's right. Yeah. It's always, I feel very strongly that it's for everyone. That the care that the choir takes in preparing things, the way in which they express themselves, even you know, even wearing masks, what we do with our body and our head or our eyebrows, but even beyond that, empathetically, we can communicate so much, and the power of a group of people giving that gift to congregants who then are receiving and then giving and empathizing back changes things.
It totally does.
I've heard, we were talking about breath again, but I've heard people talk about when groups breathe together in a certain way, they liken it to the barometric pressure in a room changing.
Ooh.
And I love that idea. That's so cool. I don't even know if it's true, but I'd like to think it is.
Yes.
That you can breathe in such a way intentionally when everyone's doing it the same, that something is palpable and something's different.
Yeah.
And that's all part of the way that we communicate as an ensemble. And I'm just looking forward to giving language to things maybe that we haven't been able to identify or have forgotten, or that's a joy.
Yeah, all of that. Mm-hmm. That there's those sort of maybe subconscious ways of picking up on the energy and the barometric pressure and all of that happens in a room that just can't happen over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talked when COVID first started happening. Everyone was talking about missing sort of the like water cooler talk, like the stuff that happens between the Zoom calls.
Yep, the chit chat.
We all missed that kind of communication, but there's even another sub level that you're talking about that we missed, of just the breath and the energy and the empathy and all that. That makes me wonder. Pastor Chad and I have been talking about how sometimes it just feels like a lot of us are just having some hard edges right now. Like we're just, I keep throwing elbows out. Like I have a very short patience right now, and I've just been noticing that in myself. And thinking about, I wonder if it is just a missing of that sort of flow of communication. Like missing that. Okay, we're okay here. We're okay here because I can feel it.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, and I think that when we're alone, or when it's like I like how you talk about hard, when we're hardened, when all we're dealing with is keyboards or screens or phones or paper, when it's all just absent of flesh.
Yes.
Or when there's the stranger isn't present.
Yep.
It's so easy to become insular and ignoring Christ's constant nudging to take care of the stranger. Notice the person that's not like you.
Yeah.
Be patient with the one who irritates you, you know?
Yeah.
And when we got into our little cozy places, it's harder to remember that.
Yeah.
And then now as we're breaking free, getting out, there's great joy in that, but then it's also surprising when I'm driving, even. Yeah. I'm a little snippy.
Yes, yes.
Wow, Amy, settle down.
Right, right.
Do you remember how quiet it was? Do you remember how slow you were?
Yeah.
There's important things to remember in that.
Yeah. That there are things that we can carry out of that time when we were, that really do still pertain the quietness and the stillness and the patience that can come out of. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about God's presence in your life in sort of a bigger way, and not just since you've arrived here. But tell us about a time, so listeners will know that there's sort of a double meaning to grace in this podcast. We both get to know Grace Lutheran as we're reminded who's in our community, because we don't see each other every week like we used to, but also a reminder of God's grace out there in the world, and that it's not just the hard edges or just the keyboards that we've gotten so used to over this last year. So tell us about a time when God's grace really either illuminated something in a way that you'd never seen before, or made a huge difference, or just changed things in a way that would be hard to imagine without God's grace there, maybe.
I was thinking about that question, and it's difficult to think of, for me, it was difficult to like isolate one story of that, because I started thinking about, well, all right, how do we define God's grace?
Yeah.
And I started thinking about, of course, songs, you know,
yes.
Or expressions.
Yeah.
And are those really what I believe is the definition of grace, or better yet, what is meant when the scripture tells us about grace? I was thinking of the expression, and I always mess these up. There, but for the grace of God, go I.
Yes. You know, or something like yes. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning.
Yeah.
If it weren't for God's grace, I'd be there, which is in a worse place or in a bad place, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if that's the kind of grace that we're talking about. Yeah. Or that is all-encompassing. Of course, I understand what the expression means, but I think that that's awfully limiting to I'm doing better, or I'm healthy.
Yeah.
By God's grace. But what about the person who is not healthy?
Yeah.
Is God's grace not present for them? And of course, I think we would say, well, of course it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So the amazing grace, I think, is bigger than our expressions or our phrases or even our kind of our typical definitions of it is. And I think of our son Jacob, who is grown up, and we just moved him down to Southern California, and he's going to be kind of starting his life and career down there, and it's wonderful.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Go Jacob.
Yes.
And I used to sing Amazing Grace to him to help him go to sleep, and you know, go through all the verses, and that was always, that felt like devotion to me, devotion time to me, just to sing those words. Even about, you know, when we've been there 10,000 years, like, okay, well, that's grace in the future that we don't know of, but it's you know, language that is comforting to many.
Yeah.
It also is talking about grace that's here, recognizing brokenness, but God's grace is with us. But when Jacob was 3 years old, doctors discovered a brain tumor in the back of his brain, and he had to have emergency brain surgery, which of course was terrifying and awful. And to be in a pediatric intensive care unit with your precious child bandaged and hooked up to every possible thing, and you could not, we couldn't hold him.
Right.
You couldn't jostle anything. And to be, you know, completely 100% out of control.
Yeah.
I believe that God's grace was there in that, not because he was healed, you know, and he recovered well, and it was a benign brain tumor. But before that, when the recognition of being so out of control, being kind of swept over with feelings of Jacob is a gift. Children are gifts to us. And I'm, you know, I prayed. I hope that this isn't all we got, you know, this gift. But if this is, you know, I'm so glad that I got to love somebody so fantastic as this little person here.
Yeah.
And every moment is just another gift to love. And there was this overwhelming sense of it's a gift.
Yeah.
This is a this person, this child is a gift. And that's not possible without God's grace. I mean, I think that that kind of peace in such a dramatic, scary, out of control time of life was a beautiful presence of God's grace, which we are reminded of that moment many times throughout our life. My husband and I, you know, have reflected back on that as a reassurance of, we said we believed that, you know, God would be with us, whatever that meant.
Right.
We say we believe that.
Right.
Oh, that's what it means. Oh, we actually do believe what that, you know, because we experienced that grace, I think. So I think that's probably the most impactful expression of kind of this larger than we can encompass idea of grace for me is.
I so thank you for sharing that.
That
feels so true to just everything I know grace to be, which is just that incomprehensible thing that looking either forward and expecting it or looking back and recognizing it. Both ways, you're like, it's not what I'm thinking. It's like we have this expectation that it's going to be, well, I think the world around us will tell us it means good health and good fortune and best of luck and all the best things in life.
Right.
When really what it means is just not being alone in the midst of the absolute worst of being accompanied in those moments where it just feels desolate and it just feels like there's nothing else there.
And isn't that true that, I mean, if we didn't recognize that, then what do we need, God for anyway? If we didn't, if we don't place forward or in retrospect, then what do we need God for anyway? If we're the ones that have expected this and done this and checked this off and made sure we did all the right things here, then we've kind of neglected to recognize Christ as inside all of that with us. So I think it's really important that, or it's a, you know, it's an important reminder as Christians to recognize that that God's presence is so much bigger. And yes. I really like how you said that, looking forward, but then recalling.
Right.
And then being able to say, oh, yeah.
That was it. That mm-hmm. was when that was a moment when God was with us. Yeah. Yeah, I keep thinking about that just because it feels like I'm yearning and searching for that in the midst of the desolation of COVID.
Yeah.
And I just keep thinking we're just not far enough into it or beyond it yet for me to look back and say, oh, there was the moment. Like, right. It still feels like we're in the midst of it.
Yep.
And that's so hard to constantly be looking retrospectively, trying to find it
right
in the past, because that's typically where I can find it, or where we can find it as a community. Right. And we're just not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And so sort of sitting in the midst of the storm instead and saying, okay, that's not quite where we're at yet. So how can we hold on to it until we get there?
Right.
Like, until we get to the point where...
And this is not new.
Yeah,
this is like,
exactly.
You just said it right there. Yeah. When we were sitting in the storm, and I thought of the scripture verse of, you know, the disciples and Jesus being on the rock, you know, and the
yes.
ship going crazy, and then yeah. he's asleep in the boat, and they're going,
exactly.
Are you going to wake up?
Right.
Are you going to save us? Because
right.
we're in deep doo-doo right
yes.
here.
Exactly.
And he's like, just, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
What are you, like, all you need is right here.
Yeah.
And no matter, I'm reading a book by Barbara Brown Taylor.
Ooh, I love her.
Right now, and I think it's called An Altar in the World.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
You might
so
know that
good.
From Yagam Days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that was where I read it first. Yep,
there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
And she talks a lot about being so intentional about not waiting until you get through to recognize, but and she does it in some pretty minute ways, which I think is the point.
Yeah.
And it's not as if we all have to find God's presence with us or God's grace in the ladybug that we see, or she talks about all the opportunities.
Yeah.
And while they are all opportunities, we don't have to find them all. It's just,
yeah,
it's like, take, there are gifts, and all day long,
yeah,
right now, this conversation, you
yes.
know, the volunteers who are helping sort music, and Ruth upstairs emailing back, well, do you need me to do anything?
Yeah.
And, you know, just all kinds of little things.
Yeah.
Beautiful sunset last night that was like the streak of pink.
Yeah.
And I remembered to just notice it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then just linger just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Like, that's a gift.
Yeah.
And that helps, I think, that helps me soften those hard edges, or
yes. yeah.
helps take away some of the anxiousness about even, you know, choir, the health and safety of them and our time together, and the
yeah.
how things are, they won't look familiar. It's going to be different
yeah.
for lots of reasons, but it's going to be quite different for a while. But I think in those moments of just recognizing God's grace, God's presence with us, helps us breathe deeply,
yes.
settle down, know that it doesn't have to be right, or
yes.
it doesn't have to be perfect, or it's,
yeah.
we know that nothing's permanent now, you
yes.
know?
Yes,
we
exactly.
know that things are always shifting, and
yeah.
I think it helps to just soften those edges by recognizing that grace in the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking a lot recently about how much we seek out God's presence in the extraordinary, in the extreme.
Yep.
And in those moments of extreme loss or grief, and at the same time, how when we're searching for that, we sometimes lose the sacred in the ordinary, not just in the extraordinary,
yeah.
that there really is God's presence in everything. So there's God's presence in hospitals every day, and there's God's presence in my morning toast,
yeah.
like, and everything in between. And
yeah.
that's just, incredible to think about God's presence being so pervasive in such an accompanying way
mm-hmm.
that even if we're in the basement of of the church and chatting, or even
yeah.
no matter where we're at, that God's presence is still there in some way. And if no other way than in the way that we bring God's presence with us in every space we enter,
right.
which is just incredible to think about. Well, thank you so much, Amy.
Yeah, this has been really, this is really nice
yeah.
To get to visit together and
I agree.
Deepen relationship and
yeah.
partnership and ministry and
yes.
just I keep imagining folks who will watch the podcast or
yeah.
listen and just that they might feel, you know, kind of comforted and excited and
yeah.
Ready to
yeah.
to be in communication and in community
yeah.
soon.
Yes. Soon and very soon.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen to that.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us, everyone. It has been a lovely time chatting with our new choir director, Amy. And tune in next week for our next Amazing Grace guest. And we'll look forward to talking to you then. Blessings and peace and God's grace go with you until then. Take care, everyone.